Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting and Sharing. Today we're going to speak with author Sahar Sabati about her book Warp and Woof. Welcome, Sahar.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hi, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Oh, my goodness. Well, in very, very short, because I don't want to go on for too long, it could get very tedious. My name is Sahar, like you said. I am the oldest of a bunch of siblings and cousins that all of us have, you know, a pretty big imagination. So our childhood was defined by a ton of games where we just create these worlds and these stories and just like make them evolve throughout summer. And that was basically one of the biggest boosts into storytelling for me. And my mom encouraged me at 10 years old. She gave me her old school typewriter. I remember I could barely type on it because like my fingers were still pretty small. And I started writing stories on that, and they were terrible. I hope they've improved a little bit. Let's see about that. And I write, I think there's two major categories. I love fiction. I write for all ages. I just, whatever inspires me, I write. And I have a blog that I'm very passionate about. And I think the main thing that brings it all together, I would say, is I have this very unique perspective that's very influenced by my beliefs in the Baha'i faith, which basically we believe that, you know, humanity is coming of age, and we as a global family are learning how to function like as a mature society eventually, maybe not today.
Eventually.
Eventually. We're getting there, slowly, slowly. But yeah, so my writing is really about that. It's about like, you know, what can that look like? You have a current situation that's a bit not mature, and how might that look like in a more, you know, mature perspective? So I'll
stop there. When you were talking about the typewriter, it reminds my father, somewhere in storage, we still have it. My father had this old manual typewriter that he loved to use, and when I had to write a report, my brother had to write a report, we used it. And all I can remember from it mostly was breaking my fingernails and getting really upset because you have to really press down on those old manual typewriters, which you don't have to worry about on a computer.
Gosh. Yeah, it's so true. Actually, my husband and I came across one of these typewriters just 2 days ago. And you could actually play with it, like really. It was older than the one my mom had, and we were both kind of, perhaps innocently and naively, shocked by how hard it was to type. Like we were mm-hmm. trying to type at the same speed as on that typewriter as we would type on a computer, and it was just impossible.
Yep. Yeah,
and
I was amazed.
Wow.
People could go like 100 words a minute on one of those things, and I'm like, how do you do it? We're breaking your nails. I mean, really.
Exactly. You're just like, wow. So I have a newfound respect for typists.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also very grateful for the keyboard for the computer.
I approve of that statement.
You write short stories. You write about both fiction and nonfiction. Where do you get your inspiration? Is it nature? Is it just snippets of conversation? Where do you get it from?
Oh, my. It's not limited to one thing. Let's just put it this way. I drove my parents crazy with all the questions I had since I was a kid. And although
like
I don't drive them... See, this is why we get along. My mom, when Google was launched, she was like, why did I not have this when you were a child? Yeah, like everything it's something that runs in the family. My cousins and I, my sisters and I will sit and just like, we'll be sitting in a coffee shop and someone will go by wearing something and we'll just start like thinking, where does that come from? Why would you wear that? Why would you not? And it'll just go on and on and on. We're just trying to figure it. We're a very curious mind. But we're also maybe, I think that might be related to the fact that we're a very United Colors of Benetton kind of family. We have like Persians and Caribbean blood, and we have Chinese blood, and we have a bit of everything in the family. So maybe sometimes I think that, and we've traveled all over the world. We've had family, we have family members all over the globe. So you ask a simple question like, I don't know, what's in a salad? You will have a broad range of answers, and that just like, and we're all very curious. So just all these questions just like triggers all these ideas and stories.
I used to get in such trouble. Not with my family. My parents encouraged it. I drove them crazy because my favorite question was why. But
yes.
I actually got in trouble in school a few times. Not because I was a bad kid. Oh, the worst one was, it was like fourth or fifth grade, and it was in one of those classes that you had all the subjects. And during history, we were talking, and I was kind of upset because I was a big Bewitched fan, and they talked about Salem, and it got me very interested in the Salem witch trials and Salem. But in my history book, it was only one paragraph. And I asked my teacher, are we going to talk more about Salem than this one paragraph? And he says, no, we're going to stick to the academic, you know, schedule. And I said, why? And he said, because that was what we're going to do. But why?
How old were you?
I was like 9, 10 years old.
Aww.
He sent me to the principal. Because I was disrupting the class. And one of the kids said that Rabinowitz is going to be expellee, because I didn't know expelled. And I'm like, I'm going to be expelling. And I'm crying.
That is such a cute story.
I'm crying.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so I did get in trouble for that
you
question.
You did or you didn't?
No. Oh, yeah, I didn't with the principal. The principal thought it was funny. And my dad and the principal, because my dad was called because I was sent to the principal. Apparently, after my dad calmed me down in the outer office, when he went in to talk to the principal, they both burst into laughter.
Cute. That's an awesome story. I bet you you were the favorite like incident of that week of the principal.
Oh yeah, he adored me. I also got transferred to another teacher.
Who can handle your questions?
Yes, it was more open.
Good. Good for you.
But, yeah.
No, but questions are like a window to so much. It's sad that we're not encouraged.
That's part of being a teacher.
Exactly.
That's why it was so weird, because as part of being a teacher, you're supposed to be able to handle your kids' questions.
It's true. That would be the basic.
But, yeah, that was what happened.
Sure.
That's how I got in trouble with the simple question, why.
It's a potent question.
But, I mean, if more people were open to that question, I think it would be more open world.
I completely agree with that. I was actually thinking about that, about how people... I mean, this poor teacher probably had a whole curriculum to get through and wanted to get through it. So let's leave that poor teacher alone. But like in general, like people get so defensive about their beliefs if you question them. Even if you're not questioning out of anything but curiosity, I find they're like, you know, because it's the truth. Okay, that's your truth. I agree. But why? They can't, like a lot of people get super defensive and I find that sad.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that one of the most interesting aspects about the way I was brought up, and from what you're saying, were brought up, is that my parents encouraged us to explore different cultures, different religions. to understand what the world is outside of my little cocoon. It was important to my parents that we be open. But what's amazing is it's like going against brick walls so much of the time because other people are so closed inside their own little culture or religion or whatever it might be that they don't even want to look outside. They're scared to.
Yeah.
Do you find
absolutely.
That?
Yeah, not to be too negative either. I mean, like, yes, there's definitely...
No, it's not negative. It's just the way it is.
Well, I think there are people who are like that, absolutely. And I think it creates a fear which makes them very loud, and we tend to hear these people a lot. But I also see a lot of people who are very different from that, who are very open, who are very willing
mm-hmm.
to listen, and who are willing to accept that there's maybe the truth with a capital T is so complex that there's many aspects to it. One of my friends
yeah.
once described, she's like, it's like kind of like looking at a giraffe. If you look at a giraffe from the front, from the back, from the side, from the bottom, it looks very different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the same giraffe we're looking at.
True.
And I like that really struck me. And that's why sometimes I try to write the same story from different perspectives, just to challenge myself to look at the giraffe of life like that from different perspectives. And it's difficult. You're just like, okay, I can't almost. Like it's like you can almost feel the neurons in your brain groaning in pain as you're trying to see the giraffe from another side.
Stop.
But I think also... But I also think it's the power of fiction, to be honest. I mean, it's like if you write a 5-page editorial about, you know, something, people get a lot more defensive than if you write, you know, a book about someone fictional who's going through something and then that person has a friend who sees things a little bit differently and you explore things differently. That's one of the things
of
I really like about fiction.
I think it's one of the fun things about fiction. I think that's exactly
yeah.
the fun thing is that you can take a world like in science fiction and be exploring our world. If you look at the best science fiction, even TV shows like Star Trek, that's what they
yes.
did. They were talking about what was really going on, but they put it into the future on a different planet in order for people to accept really looking at it and not being judgmental.
Yeah. Are you a Trekkie?
Yes, I am.
Ah, so am I.
Yes. And I do Grux.
It's okay. It can stay between you and me and everyone who's listening.
Who's listening? And only certain people will get that, but that's okay.
It's okay. All good.
All good. So what is your latest book, Warp and Woof, about?
Warp and Woof was my first attempt. There is going to be many more. To write stories about how relationships form the basis of a strong community. So within a marriage, within a family, within friendship, how do these relationships affect the strength of a community? It's actually been really interesting. I actually receive emails regularly. Sorry, I'm trying to get my thoughts together.
That's okay.
I wrote each of the stories. I kind of took it as an exploration more than anything else. I mean, like, I don't want to pretend, like, I don't want to even pretend or imply that I think I know what the truth is. So each of these stories is an exploration of, like, how can we bring people together in situations that usually tend to cause you know, sedition, disunity, and things like that. So if you have a sibling that's kind of like taking all the energy of the family into doing what they want to do, right, you can have like drama, or maybe you can choose another path that is one that doesn't cause drama, that kind of like, you know, tries to encourage things to be more fair within the family, for example. And it was kind of scary and empowering at the same time to explore these stories, because like, it's like these big topics that I see people around me dealing with, and I also deal with some of the stories, like the also things that I deal with. But I think that from what I've heard, I was hoping this, and I heard that it makes the stories approachable. And I really love how many readers I have who email me about thoughts about, like, you know, they had similar situations that they encountered in their lives, and they would like really critique. They would comment, not critique, comment on the way the character in the story dealt with it, underlying pros and cons, and then they would share how they dealt with it. And it really, like, that was like probably the best part of it, because like I feel that my perspective on each of these situations has broadened because of these conversations. And I was thinking about like, oh, should I like do a second edition with the same stories, but then each character is different and reacts differently based on these different ideas that people gave me, to kind of see how else this situation could have been dealt with.
That makes sense. Do you find that writing it out helps you to figure it out for yourself?
Yes. You hit the nail on the head. That also, not just therapeutic. I'm actively involved in various community building endeavors. And a lot of the stuff that, so one of my books, Spirit Within Club, is actually based on this spiritual empowerment program for preteens that I've been involved in for over 10 years now. And it's kind of like, it kind of offers the opportunity for me to really sit down and think about the quality of my contributions to this community building process. And the community building process really starts with the family, right? Like the micro level of the community is represented in the family. So a lot of the stories they explore, like how a family can deal with the situation, and makes me think about like how I deal with my parents, and am I respectful enough of them, and am I being considerate of everything they've given me? And then, you know, expanding that to like extended family and friends who are like family. So it becomes a source, a way for me to systematically think about what I'm contributing, what I'm putting out into the universe in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of important, because that's something I found when I wrote my memoir, is that it's way to bring forth your ideas in a gentle manner and hopefully help people.
Hopefully.
You never know.
Exactly.
But you hope.
I do.
Hope is a big thing.
It is.
What is your passion? Is it communication? What is the biggest passion in your, both, not just your writing, but your life?
My biggest passion, other than chocolate?
Oh, well, yeah, we all have that. Yes, you're allergic.
Oh, God forbid. God forbid. And I become allergic to chocolate. I would cry for a long time if I was allergic to chocolate.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I think, God forbid, either of us become allergic to chocolate. There you go.
Yeah.
But
I don't think that should be your passion in life.
Oh, I'm very passionate about my chocolate. I will bring souvenirs from places, chocolate bars. Like, who cares about the knickknacks? Give me the chocolate. I could write an ode to chocolate.
Did you ever go to San Francisco and go to the Ghirardelli factory?
I'm scared I would never come out.
Oh my God, it's like going into Oompa Loompa land. It's the most wonderful place.
Oh my. Have you ever been to Barcelona?
No.
If ever you go, there's a shop called Cacao Sampaca that has the best chocolate.
Yum.
Like anytime I know someone going there, I'm like, can you please bring me a
can
box?
You pick me up.
Well, you know, the thing is, if they bring me with them, they have to pay, you know, a ticket, how many, you know, hundreds of dollars. Instead, they can put the hundreds of dollars into bringing me back chocolate.
I don't think it costs that much to get a bar of chocolate.
Why not? $800 of chocolate is like 1 year's worth, no? I'm stocked.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I told you chocolate is my passion. No, but serious, on a more, and a little bit more serious note, I think I would say one of my passions is, it's going to maybe sound a little bit lame, but it's really like the whole concept of improving the world. I really, really, like my whole blog is dedicated to that. And my writing is dedicated to that. Like I really believe that like, the world both has some terrible things going on, but that's just a sign of a transition phase, and that when we get through it, we're going to build an amazing world, and it makes me very excited to be a part of rebuilding an amazing world in which no one suffers.
That's beautiful. I like that. We don't have a lot of time. We only have about 8 minutes. Do you have any events that are coming up, such as signings or conventions or anything that, or even online stuff where people can touch base with you?
No. I'm a massive introvert, so I don't do a lot of these things. But, yeah, no, right now, no. Right now I'm in the process of building a little baby in my belly. So that's taking all of my energy. Yeah. So
congratulations.
That's kind of a focus. Thank you. I've traveled a lot in the last years. I lived in Israel for a few years. I lived in Montreal. Anyhow, in and out all the time. So I haven't been able to network and hit up all these awesome things that I've heard so much about. But the main way to get in touch with me is through my blog. There's all these conversations going through my blog, and then the second place would be through my Twitter accounts. I have like 10 conversations going at the same time. But I hope one day I'll have a cute child as an accessory. So that's my marketing
team. Well, that's
always,
that's a great opening, like, hi, everybody, meet my child.
I hope Child Protective Services isn't hearing this. Like, aha. Child labor in utero.
I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be an issue.
I hope not. If not, there goes my marketing plan. Poor child. If my kid finds this interview online when she is a teenager, I am so in trouble.
And it stays forever, so I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Well, as long as there's an internet going to be happening, what we transition to by the time your daughter is going to be a teenager.
So true.
Do you have any upcoming work you're working on, any new books or any short stories that we should look out for?
The main thing right now I'm setting up, I've been through a 4-month massive restructuring of my blog to really align it back with its primary objective, because I felt I got a bit lost. But I'm also working on 3 books at the same time, because that's what I do. I'm working on my first illustrated children's book, actually, with a friend of mine, so I'm very excited about that. I'm working on a YA book in which I was reading a lot of YA books about, like, you know, a typical summer, like a coming of age story about summertime and like a 16-year-old girl and what she goes through. And I found it was very narrow in the way that it defined what a summer of coming of age could be like. And I was like, ah, I wonder if, like, how, what else it could look like. So I talked to a bunch of people, asked them about, you know, their summer, what they define it as, their coming of age summer. And I thought a bit about my own, and all of this is coming together in this second book. And then there's another book that I'm very passionate about that I've been working on for a few years, actually has no title either. It's basically, I'm trying to explore, it's a huge thing. It's exploring what it means, what female and male identity in North America is for a young couple.
That's interesting.
So kind of like, yeah, it's like, it's kind of like, and it's not, it sounds heavy, but it's not, it's going to be like a typical women's fiction, you know, girl has struggles, girl meets boy, girl and boy figure things out, girl and boy, spoiler alert, end up together. Ah! But I'm
it's
trying
called
to
a
really
romance.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's a romance. But
yeah.
Also I wanted it to be an exploration because she has been through, she's originally from a certain part of Africa where they practice female genital mutilation, and she had that done on her as a very young child. And I did that on purpose because I wanted to really create a character whose feminine identity was completely different from the beginning. And how does she deal with it? So then she moves to North America, and then she's told, you're not normal. So to kind of explore, what does it mean to be a quote-unquote normal woman? Is she normal? Is she not normal? Are you really defined by that area of your body? If not, what are you defined by? And then make their relationship kind of like the oyster shell from which a pearl will emerge. Wow, I'm poetic today.
That, I like that. It's very pretty. You're like me. I'm working on 3 or 4 books at the same time. I can't, and some short stories and some articles too. I can't stick to one thing at a time. In fact, one of my books is going to take a while too because I'm really passionate about it, but I have so many other things that I don't want to mess it up because it's a really good story. But at the same time, I want to do the other stuff too.
I know, right? It's like, oh, my God.
So it's like,
I look forward, what are you working on?
One's a historical novel. The other one is a YA novel. That one's almost done. That one will probably, I wanted it done by summer, but it probably won't be done till fall. And
Congratulations.
The third one, huh?
Congratulations, almost done.
Yeah, I know.
Congratulations.
Well, It still has to be, there's still a lot of work to do. I mean, still a lot of editing and stuff like that. But, yeah, the storyline is done. The storyline, it's going to be a serial. It's my first one, so I'm nervous about that. yeah.
You'll be fine. I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yeah. And then the one I was telling you about is sort of an action-adventure story, and it's really fun to write.
I look forward to seeing them all published. Congratulations.
Thank you. But they're not close yet.
I'll get there when it gets there.
I know. I finished my last batch at the end of last year, so I'm not worried about it.
There you go.
No, you can only do so much.
Exactly. Unfortunately, we need this thing called sleep.
Yes. And to deal with real life.
What's that?
You know, that thing, that little darling that's growing in your tummy is one of them.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
That's
well,
a fictional character I'm building
that's
myself.
That's a fictional character. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Sadly, we're at the end. I think I warned you that the half hour does go very quickly. I want to thank you for being on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
I'm so glad. Thank you for chatting with Sherry. All of Sahar's information will be in my next blog probably Wednesday. Thank you, Sahar.
Thank you so much. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting, Sharon.